The following is a message from Tim Greenwood Ministries that will help you achieve success in every area of your life. Now, here's Marcia Greenwood.
Succeeding at being yourself. You can be yourself, and you can like yourself. God wants us to like ourselves. Okay, he wants us to love ourselves, but he also wants us to like ourselves. Now, this may be a surprise and a shock to some of you, but God wants you to like who you are at this stage of your life. Do you realize that for people to come to Jesus Christ, they can be at any stage. They can be the worst murderer, the worst rapist, the worst liar. Whatever it is, they don't have to clean their lives up. They come to Jesus Christ as they are, and he accepts them, and he comes inside of them, and he dwells inside of them, and he changes them. But does that statement sound hard to you? God wants you to accept yourself and to like who you are. Some people may try to accept themselves, but they really don't like who they are. We battle this a lot. That shouldn't be a hard statement. I want to help you tonight through this message to see how you can change your opinion of yourself and actually get to like yourself and enjoy who you are. Are your minds open to receive? Okay, even if it sounds hard, I want you to at least open your mind to receive the Word of God. God's Word is a sure word. He's not going to lie to you. He wants you happy. Now, this is another big one. Wouldn't you like the freedom just to be yourself and not have to put on airs for other people to like you? In this day and age, many people put on airs. We have to succeed according to the world's rules and standards, not according to God's rules. So many times we have to act very different from who we are. In the entertainment world, many people are great actors and actresses, but they put on a big show. Boy, they seem like they have it all together, don't they? But in their own personal life, they could be the shyest person or so intimidated. They don't have it together, but they act like they do. See, we don't have to put on an act. We can know who we are in Christ Jesus, and he wants us to like ourselves. I want you to get this point that your worth is not based on anything you do, but in what God has already done through Christ Jesus in you. It's not about you. Thank God it's not about you or me. It's about Jesus in you and I. And that is so powerful in itself. We're nothing by ourselves. It's Christ Jesus in us who makes us to succeed in whatever it is he has for us. Now, God accepts you as you are. You need to learn to accept you as you are. Okay? I am not saying that accepting yourself as you are does not mean change as you go along, but you can learn to accept different things about yourself, the ways you act, your personality. We can fine-tune many things, but we can learn to like what it is about us, and we can be great blessings to other people. Accept yourself the way that you are on the way to where you're going. God accepts you as you are, but the devil wants to steal self-confidence from you. He tries to make you feel that you don't measure up in one way or another. And we have to thank God for this one, that we're not measured by the devil's standards. We're not measured by the world's standards. We are measured by God's standards. That's all that counts. For those of you who know me well enough have heard many testimonies of mine how so insecure I was. Whenever I went looking for a job and went on a job interview, I already knew in my heart I wasn't going to get it just because of the way I felt about myself. So when I was at that interview, the people could see, you know, the vibes coming off me, the way I felt about myself. I knew I could do a good job, but I didn't portray that at all. I didn't have any confidence showing to the person I was interviewing with. Why would they want me? But the devil will either try to steal your self-confidence from you, making you feel so insecure, so worthless, or he will go the opposite extreme. That's what the devil does, right? If he can't get you one way, he'll go the other. What's the opposite extreme? The opposite extreme is the me generation. I'm going to get to where I'm going, however I need to get there. Don't get in my way. It's all about me. If you want to come along with me, fine. If you want to accept me as I am, fine. But don't try to interfere with anything. Okay? God doesn't want either way. There's a fine line. He wants you to like yourself, but not at the expense of trampling on other people and getting everything for yourself. That's not the Christian way. Now, many people don't, quote, feel like they're a success unless they measure themselves by other people's standards. What do we say in this day and age? Keeping up with the Joneses, right? Unless you have the same salary as your neighbor, unless you have the same type of clothes, same type of house, same type of car, whatever it is, unless your kids are dressed like they are, we measure ourselves, don't we? In different levels because of that. That is not how we need to measure ourselves. You don't have to look at what anybody else has. You don't have to lust at what anybody else has. God is our Father. God is our supplier. God is our source and our only source. And God will give us whatever we want, whatever we need. He wants to make our needs met. So I want you to pay attention to this. And I want you to listen closely to this one. The opinion that you have of yourself affects all your relationships with God and with other people. True, isn't it? If you don't like yourself, if you don't feel like you measure up to God, how are you going to get a closer fellowship with Him? How are you going to get a closer fellowship with anybody else? Many people can't keep friendships. Why? Because they don't like themselves. They don't offer anything to anybody else. And if you don't like yourself, why is anyone around you going to like you? They might keep trying to build you up and build you up and build you up. I've had that experience before. The more you build someone up, the more they cut themselves down. And why do you want to be in that kind of situation? Why do you want that kind of friendship? You don't. Because it will eventually tear you down. But it really does. The opinion you have of yourself affects all your relationships. And many times when people pray and ask something of God, they really don't expect to receive it. Why? One of the big ones is unworthiness. Well, God, you might say it in your word, this, but I know me. I know what I am. I know how many times I've sinned. I know what I've done. I'm unworthy. So, God, if you can find it in your heart, but God says, listen to this. That's not how God works. In Mark 11:24, God tells us that whatever we ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it. That's past tense. And God says, it will be yours. You don't have to come to Him in self-pity or crying or begging. You come to Him according to what His Word says. Believing His Word and acting on His Word. And God says, you already have it. You already have it. So if you're dealing with yourself in some areas of self-pity, unworthiness, not liking yourself, whatever it is, get into the Word. Study the Word on those subjects. Ask God for wisdom. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you, and God will. And then just start acting on what God says. And then here you may say, well, yes, but you don't understand. No, I do understand. There's no yes buts. There's no maybes with God. God said His word is a more sure word. We can rely on His word. His word is the truth. God says He'll never lie to us. Okay? He will never, ever lie to us. We can rely on His word. You can keep striving to make things better in your life by your good works. How many of you have ever tried to do something, make yourself better by your good works? You know, how many times have you gone to the hospital and visited people? How many times have you brought meals to people? How many times have you just gone to a prayer group? Because if I show up, you know, that's okay. That's good works. But no, we don't get anything by our good works. Your worth is not measured by your works. Can you get that? It's not measured by your works, but in the works that Jesus has already done for you on your behalf. He's already done it. This is also true of salvation, which I talked about a minute ago. It's not by works. Many people, and it's a very sad thing, they don't understand, and you hear it. They don't know where they're going. They don't know where they're ending up. They hope they're going to be in heaven. You've heard many people say, well, I've tried in my life to do more good works than bad works, right? Hoping that their good works would outweigh their bad works and thus get to heaven. But that's not the way it works. You have to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and then you spend eternal life with Him in heaven. So get that out of your head. Your good works isn't going to do anything for you. It's one thing to believe in works and then obedience to God's word. Yes, God will tell you many different things to do. And you have to be obedient to God's word and what He's telling you to do. But it's not by your works. It's not how many times you sat on the PTA or how many times you drove the neighborhood kids to school or to church or whatever that is. Some of those things could be good works, good things, okay? But they won't help you get anywhere. God says our works will not earn us anything. It's by acceptance through faith in God's Son, Jesus Christ, and what He has done for us. We are saved by grace through faith. Salvation is a free gift to all of us. We just have to receive it. God's promises are a free gift to all of us, but we have to receive it. How many times has someone tried to give you a gift and you threw it away? I don't think many times. But see, we don't know how to receive, just absolutely receive from God, because we're His child. We're His child, and He wants to give us good things. We feel like we have to earn it by doing something. And we put that in a box called humbleness. Well, I'm being humble. If I do this, maybe God would give me a little bit more. But that's not the way it works. God wants to give you all good things. Many Christians fail to remember that Jesus took their sins and in turn gave them a breastplate of righteousness. You have to remember that you have right standing with God. God loves you unconditionally. Unconditionally, that does not mean He likes what you do all the time. Just like you don't like what you do all the time, just like you may not like what your children do all the time, but that doesn't change your love for them. And God is much better parent than we are, much better person than we are. Many times we have conditions hanging on our love, but God's love is unconditional, and He loves you. You have to understand that. If you have to write this phrase out, that God loves me, it came to me today. such a simple little child's Bible phrase that you learn and children sing in Bible school or whatever. Jesus loves me. Yes, I know, because the Bible tells me so. Many people forget that. You know, you may learn it as a cute little song or something when you're young, but as you grow older, you forget it, and you can't forget it. It is that simple. God says to become like little children. Jesus loves me. Yes, I do know. Why? Because the Bible, God's sure word, He tells me so. God's word is His promise to you and I. It's so, so important to understand. We need to go now to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. It says that Jesus actually became sin on the cross for you and I, so that through Him we might become the righteousness of God. You need to believe God when He tells you this. Write it on a piece of paper and confess every day, multiple times throughout the day, I am the righteousness of God through Jesus Christ. It may seem silly to you at the beginning, but as you go through it, you will start to realize, you will start to know and to accept this promise about yourself. And when you begin to accept it, you will begin to start confessing it. You will begin to start acting on it. One girl, not too long ago, she came up to me and she tried to tell me that something hadn't been corrected yet in her life. And that night I got to thinking and I thought, you know, I did not have to wait till she came up to me to tell me that, because I could see it in her walk. I can see it in her actions. I can see it in the way she presented herself. Many people do not know who they are in Christ Jesus. They don't know who they are, so they don't act on it. And the devil weighs them down in many different areas of their life. And insecurity, unworthiness, self-pity, dislike of yourself is one of the big, big ways that the devil tries to hold so many of us down. He wants to, because he knows if he can get you in that way, you're not going to walk in the fullness of what you have in God. But God says we're the head and not the tail. God says we have authority in the name of Jesus. We can command the devil to get away from us, and he has to flee. But you have to immerse yourself into God's word. Our tongue, the Bible says, has the power of life and death. If we keep confessing that we're a sorry, sorry person, we'll never amount to anything because it's what our family has told us or our teachers have told us. And I just read a little story on parents and teachers. I don't remember the exact number, but for every one thing, one good thing that a parent or a teacher says to their child, it's like four or five negative things that surround that one good thing. Now, if you're surrounded by so many bad words about you, negative things about you, what are you going to start to believe? You're going to believe the negative things. Why? Because they outweigh the good things. If they have so many bad things to say about me, I'm probably not as good as they say I am. And you start to confess and you start to live all the bad things that they say. You accept it into yourself. That is a way the devil tries to get into young children, very early age. Let's say they haven't even been to preschool. They've been with their family. Their mother stayed home and taught them. Then all of a sudden they're in school and their hair is a little different, or they dress a little different, and they start listening to what other people say about them. They don't feel like they're accepted. And a big thing, especially in junior high and high school, is peer pressure. If people don't like you, if you're not in with the in-group, the cool group, or whatever it's called nowadays, You just haven't made it. You're not accepted. You know, I missed out on the cheerleading squad this year. I didn't make it into the band. I'm not a jock. You know, I can't play the sports as well as some other people. And so you're already marked. And you feel like you're marked for life, don't you? But all of a sudden, you get out of high school and you know that, hey, that's not really the way it is. You can start associating with other people. You find friends in many different categories, age groups. But the devil tries to pull you down so much. He tries to get to our children. That's why God says, keep my word. Keep my word going into them. Teach them. Teach them daily. Because my word is life. My word is health. My word is medicine to them. People haven't done that. Even Christian families haven't done that. Why not? They're too busy. They're too busy trying to pay for the home that they have to buy. And I'm not saying it's bad for two people to work or anything like that. But sometimes you have to see what is important to you. Do you really need a home that costs this much money? Where for a while you could have had a home that cost this much money, or whatever it is. Your children are an important investment. They really are, because the devil, he wants to grab them before God will begin using them. And God says, I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you. God knows what he wants for us in our life. And I feel that many, many times young children are sexually abused, mostly, more than physically abused, because the devil wants to take them out. Out of sexually abused children, there's many, many, many people who never get a grip on life, who never begin to learn who they are, and life just swallows them up. They may go through the motions, but many of them never feel good about themselves, because they've been robbed. They've been stolen from at an early age. So they won't walk in the things that God has for them. The devil wants to steal from our children. Back to 2 Corinthians 5:21. God says he will never lie to you, but the devil lies and he steals and he deceives. He doesn't care how he gets you. He doesn't care how he pulls from you, whether it's inch by inch or takes you out at one time. He loves doing it. He is the master of deception. But I want to tell you something here. You have a choice. God says, I set before you life and death, blessings and cursing. God says, choose life. It comes into your territory, whom you choose to believe. Do you believe God's truth, or do you believe the devil's lies? It's just that simple. So you got to get grounded in God's word. You got to know what God says about you. It has to be more than just going through the mind. And you waffle back and forth. You go back and forth like the waves of the sea. You doubt. God says you're not going to receive anything if you doubt. But you have to get his word in your heart. You have to begin walking in what he says so you can succeed and do what he wants you to do. Mankind puts too many rules and regulations on themselves. God is just the opposite. Throughout the Bible says, just believe, God says. Just believe and you will receive. If you can get past the point of wanting to see signs and wonders, and I'm not talking about God's signs and wonders, I'm talking about what the world says. I have to see it first. I have to feel it first. I have to taste it first. Get past your five senses and start walking in faith. Start believing what God says, even at the point where you feel, quote, that you can't move. You can't believe what God's word says about you. Again, write down a verse, write down two verses, and no matter how silly you seem, or if you don't believe it, start speaking that word. And soon you will start walking in what God has for you. You will begin believing it because the word will get into your heart and embedded in your heart. God says, just believe, and that's when the blessings will come and they will overtake you. You do not have to earn God's love. He freely gives it to you. 2 Chronicles 16, verse 9. It says, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in behalf of them whose heart is perfect towards them." Uh-oh, there's that word perfect. We, in the English language, think it means, what? You have to be perfect. You have to be holy. You have to be walking, never sinning, never doing any wrong. But that's not what it means. The word perfect means, it doesn't mean without any fault. It means but full. Full of what? Full of the love of God, being strong towards Him. God wants you to have a right heart attitude. God wants you to be made ready. God wants you to be peaceable. It says to love God with our whole heart, our whole soul, and our whole mind. That's what walking in perfectness to God is. He's already made you righteous. The moment, the very moment, the instant, it happened so quickly, you didn't know what was happening. When you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you didn't turn around and then look down at yourself and you were a whole new person, but you were inside. You were a new spirit inside you. You were recreated. Jesus Christ gave you righteousness and He took all your sins. All your sins. How could He have done that? Because He took all your sins on the cross. They're gone. They're taken care of. And He even made provision for us now that when we sin, and you get that I said when, not if. God knows us more than we do. When we sin, we have that provision. We can go right to God and say, "Father, I'm sorry, forgive me." And He forgives and He forgets. He forgets what the devil keeps wanting to cram down your throat, cram in your head. You did it again. You did it again. You did it again. You're so ugly. You're so bad. You're so unworthy. You did it again. If your heart is towards God, you wouldn't do it again. But when you're working and your heart says, "I don't want to sin. I never want to sin. I don't want to come against God. I want to please God." You know, we want to please God. God sees that. God sees that. Don't let the devil put guilt on you and condemnation on you. The Bible says God looks on the heart. So you got to know that. We have to learn not to fall into the trap of the devil, because that's what it is. We all know that he knows what pushes your buttons, and he's going to push your buttons, right? You've heard us say that before. If you fall into guilt, if you fall into condemnation, if you fall into unworthiness, he's going to make sure to put something in your path so you take it eventually. And then you may be sorry for it, but he's going to get you then. Okay, he asked forgiveness of God, but now I'm going to just give it to her, double whammy. She's going to feel guilty for a long time. You don't have to do that. God says He forgives. Okay? Learn to like yourself. The devil, he wants to pull us down, and he wants to pull us into a grave with him. We don't have to go there. God is love. I talked before, He's unconditional love. We have to know this in our hearts so we can succeed. If we sow God's word into our hearts, then we're going to reap the blessings. Why? Because God says, what you sow, you will reap, right? Well, if you sow God's word in your heart, what are you going to reap? You're going to reap salvation. You're going to reap deliverance. You're going to reap peace. You're going to reap healing. You're going to reap redemption. You're going to reap prosperity. You're going to reap, "I am the head and not the tail." You're going to reap, "I have the authority of the name of Jesus. Devil, you're beneath my feet." You're going to reap those blessings when you sow God's word in your heart. But on the other end of it, if you sow what the devil in the world tells you, by sowing it, you're receiving it. You're speaking it. Learn not to speak what the devil tells you. I don't care how much you feel that. Again, there's that word feel about yourself. You speak what God says. But if you start speaking what the devil says about you, what are you going to reap? You're going to reap guilt. You're going to reap self-pity. You're going to reap condemnation. You're going to reap shame. You're going to reap confusion, right? You're going to reap those bad things and those curses. I want you to know that God can and God will use you just like you are. You can be a new Christian, a new saint, and God will start to use you. You'll have such happiness in your voice. You may not know the Bible very well, but you'll start to teach and talk to people about the good things that Jesus has done for you. When Tim and I first learned Mark 11:23, you can say to your mountain, when Tim had heart disease, and we were learning God's word on it, on healing and receiving that word. We didn't understand that much more about healing, but we started speaking the words, and we started going out and telling all these people. God will use you as you are. He knows your heart. If your heart is telling about the goodness of God, bringing glory to God, He will use you. You don't have to have PhDs, doctorates, the approval of 12 ministers and pastors behind your name. God wants to use you. And the greatest thing is God will equip you. He will teach you what to do. He will teach you what to say. You just have to be open to Him. So you can succeed in whatever you want to do. You may not have a gift of evangelizing or doing this or doing that. Like some people, again, here's the comparison. Well, this person can open their mouth and 20 people every time come up to the altar and receive Jesus. I open my mouth and they say, well, I want to think about it for another 10 years, you know? And you start saying, well, what's wrong with me? But look at where God is using you and start walking in that. And we're going to talk about that a little bit too. You have to learn to walk where God's using you and God's equipping you. And then you're going to succeed. You won't fail. There's no way you can. God wants you to know you're not weak. You're strong in the Lord. You have to know and you have to realize that God says you have the same power in you that raised Jesus from the dead. Some people go, you know, just push it aside. Get a hold of God's word. Get a hold of it because it's powerful. It's powerful. That's who you are. That's who you are. You have the same power in you that raised Jesus from the dead. You have to learn that you don't have to be somebody or something you're not. You don't have to put on airs. You don't have to play act. God will mold you into what He wants you to be as long as you're pliable, okay? If you're flexible. But if you say, no, God, I don't want to do this. I can't do this. No, do what God says you can do. God has much to say about what you can do through His Word in the Bible. He says you can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens you. And it's the anointing which strengthens you. The anointing which comes through God which strengthens you. We all can walk in the anointing. Now, it may be your choice not to teach. It may be your choice not to evangelize. It may be your choice, okay? God's not going to push you to do it, but you still can succeed in being all that you are in Christ Jesus. He wants you to grab hold of it. Our worth and our value is not in what we are, but who we are in Christ Jesus. How do we measure today? Oh, this guy's a doctor. Oh, this guy's a bishop. Oh, this guy is this. This guy is this. This woman is this. And you measure them by what they are. But no, it's not by what they are. Some person who has a menial job and what we consider menial today and some of the menial things we think about today, we couldn't live without these people. What happens when the garbage men go on strike or something? We can't live without that. People love to go out to eat, but they may not think a cook is as good as a doctor or this or whatever it is. We measure someone's worth in by what they do. But I tell you, that person who may be the garbage collector may have a wonderful heart. They may know who they are in Christ Jesus. Their worth is not in what they do. It's in who they are in Christ Jesus. We have to get that into us. We have to get that into us. Once we learn to accept ourselves and come to peace with ourselves, then we will begin to come to peace with other people. As you apply God's Bible-based principles in your life, you will be able to overcome any insecurities you may have and learn to succeed as being yourself and like yourself in the process. I want to repeat that again because it's so important. Listen up here. As you read God's principles, no. As you learn God's principles, no. God says, as you apply God's Bible principles, as you read the Word, know the Word, believe the Word, and then act on the Word. You have to act on it. As you apply God's Bible-based principles in your life, you will be able to overcome any and all insecurities you may have. And in the process, you will learn to succeed at being yourself and like yourself in this process. Okay? I have 3 points how to do this. Number one, begin to speak what God says about you, not the negative things you may, quote, feel about yourself. It doesn't matter what you feel. God works by faith. The devil works with feelings. I can't say this enough. You can't say it enough. It's not by what you feel. Okay? It's by what God says you are. Jesus came to earth and many people said many different things about him, didn't they? Did that bring Jesus down? No. He knew who he was. He knew who he was. He knew what power he had working in him. He knew what he was doing on earth. He knew it. And he didn't let these other things get him down. So your words are so important. Begin speaking the positive things God says about you, not the negative things. Your words are important. God says that life and death is in the power of the tongue. Who uses your tongue? The devil may give you the thoughts, but you speak it, don't you? It's our choice to speak it or not to speak it. Okay? The devil may come in to try to oppress you and put in, who do you think you are? You'll never measure up. You'll never measure up. But speak what God says. You have that choice. You have the choice of what you speak. The more you speak about yourself, either positive or negative, the words will get in your heart and you will become what you speak, be it good or bad. And we all know that. We all know that. Proverbs 23:7 says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. What you think about yourself, what you dwell on. God says think of things that are lovely and pure. Don't think of negative things. Don't think of negative things. But as a man thinks in his heart, so he is. The more you dwell on something, you're going to end up being that way. Matthew 12:37 says, for by your words, you will be justified or condemned. Please understand this. Do a study on words. Words are important to God, so much so that in the book of Revelation, chapter 22, he says, don't add to my words. Don't take away from my words. Why? because they're God's promises. He said just exactly what he wanted to say in the way he wanted to say them. And he wants us to know what he says. He wants us to believe what he says and act on what he says. Please get this. It doesn't matter what you feel about yourself. God works by faith. Romans 10:17 says, and if you say, I don't have any faith, look at Romans 12:3. God has given each of us, born again, a measure of faith. So you have some faith to begin with. He's sowed some faith into your life. But you can build on your faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You get in God's Word, and the more you get in God's Word, you know what God has for you. You learn the character. You learn the love of God. You learn what God has for you and how God loves you. It's so important. Right here I want to read Ephesians 3, verse 16 through 20. I pray that out of your glorious riches that you may strengthen me with power through your Spirit in my inner being, so that Christ Jesus may dwell in your heart through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide, how long, how high and how deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. And it says, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine, according to the power that is at work within us. Take this prayer. Put your name in here. God wants you to know his love, and he wants his love to be in you constantly. This is important also. Don't allow how others treat you or their opinion of you to lower your opinion of yourself. Many of us can get into this position, can't we? I don't like your hair today. I don't like the way you're dressed. I don't like this about you. I don't like that about you. You know, they may walk by you and not say a word, and you think, well, what's going on here? And all of a sudden, your value, your opinion of yourself drops down to nothing, right? That can happen. Don't let that happen. Don't look to others' opinions. You have to see yourself as God sees you. Point number two. Many people do this, but God doesn't want us to do it. Don't compare yourself to anyone else. Look to Jesus. Look to his standards and no one else. Read through the Bible and do a study on who you are in Christ Jesus. When you do this, you will be secure and confident when you know this. But you have to know it. It's not good enough knowing it's in the Bible somewhere. It has to get inside of you. You have to know who you are in Christ Jesus. Now, I don't think this comes as a shock to any of us, but we all know there's going to be someone better at something sometimes than what we do. And there's going to be someone who does something maybe not quite as good as we do it, right? Don't compare yourself to others. Don't say, well, this person can do this so much better. His math, boy, he can just think in his head, and I have to get on my fingers and adding machine and everything else, right? Don't think that way. Don't measure yourself by somebody else. We all have talents. We all have gifts. Maybe some people can do something very well and excel in it because they've practiced it. You've heard the story, oh, I wish I can play the piano just like so-and-so. Well, really? If you did, you would have practiced the 4 hours, the 8 hours a day. Oh, I wish I could skate like that person. Really? Then you would have practiced like that person. Okay? Don't cut yourself down. If you want to do something, go out and do it. But don't cut yourself down because someone can do something better than you. Number 3, focus on your strengths and not your weaknesses. Find something that you like to do and do it well. Let God show you what you're good at. And don't try to copy others. Some people, you want to get up there, oh, that person's a great preacher. And you try to get up there and tell all these jokes and just, you know, do all these things and you flop. Why? That's just not you. That's not your personality. That's not how God's anointing you. He may be anointing that person and it will help and feed other people. But God will help and feed other people through the way He's speaking through you or singing through your worship or whatever it is. We all have different gifts and talents. We're all different parts of the body, but all the parts of the body are important, okay? One of the ladies who's one of our tenants in our apartment building, she came up to the door yesterday. And sometimes you may not think, oh, my fingers aren't so important. But she was opening a can, and all of a sudden that can sliced her finger down to the bone. I brought her in, and Tim looked at her, and he knew right away she needed some stitches. He fixed her up a little bit, and I drove her to the emergency room. But she really needed that finger, didn't she? And it really hurt when something was wrong with it. All the parts of the body have a function. When you succeed, you're secure because you're not going to be disappointed when you can't accomplish something in the way someone else does. There's different ways to do everything. We don't have to do it like our husband does, or our wife does, or our neighbor does. There's many different ways to get to point A, right? You're going somewhere. You don't always have to turn around this corner and go down this street. You may be used to it, but there's different ways of getting to a certain point, location, or getting something done. Accept what God has anointed you to do and don't try to do other things. This is one way that the devil loves to pull us down and make us think, I'm not as good as someone else who can do this. God wants to lift you up because God loves you. You will succeed every time, and you will be at peace because you're doing what He has planned for your life. God wants you to be blessed, joyful, fulfilled, and happy. You may look at someone and say, well, they're in this kind of business, and I'm in this kind of business. Or they own their own business, and I'm doing this. Or they're in ministry, and I'm not. They may be in the office of ministry, but I tell you, sometimes those that are not in the office of ministry can be just as powerful or more powerful than someone who is in an office doing a ministry. You don't have to be anointed as an elder or whatever to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can show it every day by your example and teaching people in the words. Don't swallow that lie. God wants you to enjoy life and have it more abundantly. I want to say something here. I was reading this book and I came across this little paragraph of things, and I'll just read it right here. It says, are you stymied in your growth because of feelings of inferiority? To whom or to what are you inferior? You are a child of God, seated with Christ in the heavenlies. Who are you inferior to? No one. Do you feel insecure? Your God will never leave you nor forsake you. Why are you insecure? No reason. Are you inadequate? You can do all things through Christ Jesus, which strengthens you. Are you guilty? There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Are you worried? God has offered to trade His peace for your anxieties. Just give it to Him. Are you doubting? God provides wisdom. He provides answers just for the asking. You don't have to live in any of all that. If you're going to overcome insecurity, then you must have, and this is important, you must have the courage to be different. If we're all clones, if we're all zombies, why do you think God made us all different? Once in a while, there may be twins who look alike, but we're all different. We're all different in many different ways. God loves variety. If you're going to overcome insecurity, then you must have the courage to be different. Don't try to please and impress other people. Only God. Do everything for the glory of God. John 5:30 says, I can of my own self do nothing. And this is Jesus talking. John 5:30. I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. We are Christians. We are Christ-like. We are little Jesuses, right? We want to seek God's will. We want to do what God wants, not other people. And this here, you need to learn to deal with this too. You'll have to learn to deal with criticism without thinking there's something wrong with you. Don't let criticism concern you and eat you up. Go to your friends. They will help you honestly in certain areas that you may need improvement in. Learn to follow the lead of the Holy Spirit. Please God. You don't need the approval of other people to succeed. Galatians 5:1 says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty, that's the freedom, wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. We don't need condemnation. We don't need guilt, shame. We don't need unworthiness. We've been set free. Sometimes people are insecure because they're trying to get affirmation from family or friends close to them. Well, get wise. You may never get it from them. Don't look to them. Look to God. We must learn to affirm ourselves through Jesus and be content and happy. God does not want us to dwell on what's wrong with us. Don't dwell on what's wrong, but what's right with us. God will change us, not other people. All of us have faults, and we all have room for improvement. You need to learn to build your confidence in Christ Jesus. You need to know who you are in Him and act upon that. Satan knows he can get to you through insecurity and low self-esteem and negativity. He surely will, until you learn not to look his way and receive his lies. When you know, and when I know, how much God loves you, this is the key. Okay? When you know how much God loves you, you will learn to love yourself. You need to become rooted and grounded in God's love so you will be at peace with yourself and succeed at being yourself. Now, when the devil comes and asks, who do you think you are? Answer him like this. This is what God says I am through Jesus Christ. I am the accepted. I am the anointed. I am appointed. I have authority as a born-again believer. I am baptized, and I am blameless. I am blood-bought. I am a child of God. I am chosen. I am a citizen of the household of faith. I'm dedicated, and I'm a disciple. I'm delivered. I am determined. I am the elect of God. I'm encouraged, and I'm imbued with power from on high. I am an evangelist. I am an example. I'm the salt of the earth. I'm an eyewitness. I'm faithful. I am forgiven. I am free. Yes. I'm godly. I'm an heir of God. I'm a joint heir of Jesus Christ. I am innocent. I'm a jewel. I'm justified. I, Mr. Devil, I am a king and a priest unto God. I'm a minister. I'm a messenger. I'm a laborer. I am the loved. I'm ordained. I am an overcomer. I'm obedient. I'm a partaker of all the good things of God. I'm a peacemaker. I'm a pillar. I'm patient. I'm pure. I'm a praiser. I am a possessor of the promise. I am redeemed. I am ransomed. I am the righteousness of God. The salt of the earth, that's who I am. I'm the sheep of his pasture. I am a saint. I am a son and a daughter. I'm the sanctuary of the Holy Spirit. I am a temple of the Holy Ghost. I'm a worker, a watchman, a witness, I am the workmanship of Almighty God. Any other questions? God wants you to succeed. God wants you to like yourself. So, follow God, obey God, and learn to like yourself, because Jesus Christ has given you all things. This is where you each may have to be honest with yourself and think about if you want to stand up and say, I need prayer in this area. I don't know who I am through Christ Jesus, or if I do know who I am not acting on this. So, I'm going to ask any of you who need help or need just a prayer, if you're working through guilt and shame and not liking yourself or feeling inferior, if you want to stand up and have prayer, then we'll pray for you. Those of you on tape, you can repeat your prayer or just pray after me. Father God, we just come before you tonight and we give you praise. We give you praise for your Son, Jesus. Father, your word says that we are your heirs. We're joint heirs of Jesus Christ. We are the head and not the tail. Your word says that we are loved. So now I'm just going to ask you, just right now, silently, ask for forgiveness for not acting on who you are in Christ Jesus. Okay, now that you've done that, I just come in the name of Jesus Christ. And Holy Spirit, I ask that you just fill these people with yourself, your goodness, your love. I ask that you give them wisdom, Father God, in knowing who they are through Christ Jesus, and that they will act on it. And devil, I speak to you in the name of Jesus, and I tell you your guilt, your condemnation, your shame. I am not inferior. I am a child of God. And devil, you have no part of me anymore. I will not receive your words. From this point on, I say and I confess what God says about me. I am a child of God. I am loved. And I can do all things through Christ Jesus, which strengthens me. Father God, thank you for your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Let us know how this teaching has blessed you. You may write us at Tim Greenwood Ministries, P.O. Box 1904, Arcadia, California, 91077. You may also email us at staff, STAFF, at tgm.org. And remember, God's Word is the light you've been looking for.